provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
Heard you're buying a car. I brought my calculator.
Dad, I already used Capital One Auto Navigator. I found my car online and got pre-qualified instantly, instead of all that.
You know those things impact your credit score.
Didn't impact my credit score, Dad. Now I'm going to the dealership for a test drive and to make the purchase.
Sounds too easy.
No, it's just easy. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of heart disease. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. 800-998-1003. Question of the day, Pels fans, what did you think last night's preseason opener? After you watched, anything stand out to you? What did you feel? Is it, look, obviously you lost 117-114. The second quarter didn't kind of go as well as you wanted. But you did see some pretty good action from some of the rookies. A 40-17 second quarter by the T-Wolves. But there were a lot of plays yesterday that really, really stood out to me, including, again, guys, can you not get excited about Trey Murphy?
Ingram got hooked. No call out long to Murphy for three. Nothing but net right wing for TM3.
You know what I love about this? When I look at the highlights folder, lots of dunks. What you saw yesterday was aggressiveness to the basket, taking it to the rim, not just selling for J's and jumpers, being aggressive to the basket. And it started early in the game with Najee Marshall.
Now Najee Marshall with a steal. He's going to go coast to coast and left hand punch it in.
Jackson Hayes with the putback.
Top right hand layup, no good, but he got his own rebound. Outright corner to Trey Murphy for three. No! Dunked in with two hands by Jackson Hayes.
Brandon Ingram.
Fight four and taken down there by Jackson Hayes. Now Ingram on the move. Kick it near corner to Marshall. Marshall drives baseline, though. Russell cut him off. Now he's double-teamed. Good bounce pass down low to Brandon Ingram for the two-hand dunk. And Chris Finch will call a timeout for Minnesota.
I like that. You hear ball movement and then Brandon Ingram moving without the ball, anticipating it. And when Marshall saw the double-team, he found Ingram and he went dunked. That's off-the-ball movement. That's aggressiveness. That's attacking the rim. These are all things that, if I'm a Pels fan, to sort of see. I do. And also, again, it was one of the three principles David Griffin said you absolutely had to have, and that's three-point shooting. Well, you saw that. Devontae Graham came over from Charlotte. It's got a lot of range.
Hayes, couple dribbles, get it to Ingram. Ingram back to Devontae Graham, right corner three in front of our bench, nothing but net.
All right, that's one. He hit another one.
Hayes, couple dribbles, get it to Ingram. Ingram back to Devontae Graham, right corner three in front of our bench, nothing but net.
There you go. And then obviously with Trey Murphy continuing to make
those. Now Gabriel fakes the three. Kick it near corner. Trey for another three. He got it. It doesn't matter if it's left corner. It's right corner. It is down. 21 for TM3.
That's his sixth.
All right, so there you go. That's his sixth three-pointer. That's Daniel Salerson and Jai Graffanini. So look, again, let's see what happens tomorrow night. They'll be at the Smoothie King Center taking on Orlando. And you can hear that game right here on ESPN New Orleans. Yesterday, Sean Payton spoke with local media. There was this Monday, you know, presser. It's a conference call in the late afternoon. It was 20 minutes long. He went into a lot of detail and a lot of different things, answered a lot of different questions about what happened. And a couple of things stood out. A couple of things stood out that I think you would want to hear as fans to some of the questions, right? As to why would this, what happened there? What did you, whatever. So let's go through that a little bit now before we get Tim Rebo coming up at 1:15, Willie Fritz 1:30, Frank Selfo, our coaches on Tuesday. So Sean Payton, after he watched the tape, what did you see?
There were a number of things. Number one in our league, you know, an 11-point lead is really just two scores. And, you know, a couple of things we didn't want to have happen in that game as keys going in were really to eliminate the explosives. Defensively, we weren't able to do that. You know, they had a number of big plays, you know, particularly in the passing game. It became harder to get pressure when it became more one-dimensional, just relative to the timing of the ball coming out or some of the max protections. You know, they were either spreading us out and throwing it real quick or condensing some formations with, you know, more of a shot play. And then offensively, you know, there's a couple sequences where, you know, we have a chance to, I don't want to say close out, but we have a chance to not only shift the field position and in our favor, but take more time off the clock. And we weren't able to do that. You know, we gave up a big return in the kicking game. So look, there are a number of things when, you know, when you get in a position to possibly close out a game or, you know, put some distance between you and your opponent when we just weren't good enough to do it. And, you know, collectively, it's something that when you watch the tape today, it's a frustrating loss, and nonetheless, it's still a loss. And that's really the point I was making yesterday, and it still remains, you know, that game's over, but we got to learn from it.
All right, let's go through some of the decisions that he made and his explanation for why. 4th and 3, 29-yard line. Opening drive, they go for it, and it's a toss to Kamara near side. And you saw him shaking his head after the play. As to, you know, Jordan was like, maybe he didn't like that play. I'm like, why did you go near side on the short side of the field? Why not the far side? Have more room for him to use, whatever. Here's what he had to say.
Well, there are a number of things to do. I felt really good with a play that we had. We felt pretty comfortable in the coverage look we were going to get. And so when you run a running play like that, which is just a little crack sweep, you know, it's a lot more effective when teams are in man than zone. And so it's not a first and second down call. It was more of a third and short or a fourth and short call. We just didn't execute well enough. And it means we probably didn't get it practiced well enough during the week. But we got, you know, we got the perfect look that we were looking for, and you know, it's a look where we're wanting to crack down with the X receiver on the end and pull the tackle around, and we just didn't get the edge secured like we would have wanted to.
That was a theme yesterday, and I'm going to play this next bite in which he touches on, and it's going to kill you if you're a Saints fan. There were a lot of plays there. And they just didn't perform well. They just didn't execute technique. Caden Ellis touched on it after the game and yesterday when he spoke with reporters, like, man, this is stuff we know. This is stuff we know how to do. If I just hold this side or put a shoulder in this way, just that's what it was. But again, that's what gets you beat. It stinks. Should have 3 wins. This is Payton on how lack of technique hurt the team on both sides of the ball.
Watching the film, there were a handful of things that, you know, the theme today was man, just trust your technique. Trust, this isn't just defense, offensively the same way. Trust your technique and and trust your assignment relative to the job. There are a lot of little things which, look, it comes back to, you know, how much we're doing, and let's work on those details, because there were, I go back to that fourth down, you know, it's a great opportunity with the right look, and we just weren't detail-oriented enough to execute it. And look, that's something that, you know, I told them today in the team meeting, that if you look closely at it as a coach, say, hey, are we working on the actual techniques of it? And I think that would apply both on both sides of the ball, and the same in the kicking game.
So, again, technique is something that really it stunk, right? It was an issue. The play, in which I think Catherine Terrell is the one that asked this question. Jameis is moving the ball. Let's bring in Taysom, which, again, we found out yesterday on the coach's show over on Saints Radio. He mentioned that Taysom Hill stubbed his plant foot, got it caught in the turf, hence the underthrow, hence the interception. Catherine Terrell asked, do you ever second-guess yourself on plays like that?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, relative to plays, all the time. It's a turnover. And yet, I liked our aggressive approach to stressing that defense. And the only plus about that is it ended up obviously being, you know, a play that pinned them back down. I mean, you know, it wasn't one that put us in harm's way relative to field position. But when you're taking those shots, you know, sometimes you're going to have some success. Other times, not so much. I didn't like the location of where we threw it, you know, and I think he struggled a little bit with his technique and his footing. But I think you gotta trust your gut relative to calling plays. And I think the first big play we completed was the start of the second half. You know, we felt like we gave him a run look, or at least a look that we run the ball a bunch from, and that was Jameis's completion to Marquez. The play that we threw for the interception was a similar play that we had last thrown. Shoot, you go all the way back to in Minnesota when we played him at home. And Taysom, you know, hit that same pass versus a similar coverage look.
The other thing that he touched on, too, was the other touchdown that was negated. Kenny Stills hit deep by Winston. Touchdown holding. Adam Trautman, what happened?
One of their better players is 99. And one of the things they do a good job with is moving him around. You know, he's at left end. He's at right end. You know, is there a way we could have, you know, shifted Trout, maybe left him on the backside of that protection? You know, we knew kind of what we were trying to get with the play action. We were able to get that. But it is, you know, and we know going in it's a long block. And so, you know, when you go back through it, you know, how do you put, if it's possible, how do you put, you know, your tougher end away from the single block? Those are the things you wrestle with. But I thought, you know, Kenny did a great job. Jameis getting the ball out there. You know, it's been a defense that has been difficult to hit chunk plays against. They're one of the better teams, and yet we were able to get a few.
One final thing, and then we'll hit our break, is when you look at the touches yesterday or Sunday, and you saw the most carries ever by Kamara, 26, but no pass catching. What happened? Like, why was Alvin Kamara not involved in pass catching? And these are some of the things that Saints fans were asking Sunday via Twitter, you name it, even people calling yesterday. You got to get 41 involved in the pass game, Coach.
When you look at just structurally, a couple things first off. You know, everyone's going to butch him and try to disrupt him coming out of the backfield. But when Tony gets hurt, the role changes a little bit, you know. So his touches, obviously, he had a number of them in the running game. But, you know, a lot of the times in the passing game, when your second back is healthy, he's playing in three, four different receiver spots. That kind of shifted a little bit with Tony's injury. And, yeah, there were a handful of plays that were his plays technically by route, and yet certain coverage looks take you through a progression. But a lot of that. I mean, he got his touches. He got a lot of touches in the running game, but obviously not in the passing game. And there were a handful of reasons for that. But the biggest was obviously the injury, you know, early in the game to Tony.
So there you go. Coach Payton doing a lot of explaining yesterday, and I thought was very open and honest about some of the things that happened. And I don't know if it helps you, Saints fans, or not. Technique. Good old technique. Play was there. Called the right play. Technique kept us from executing it. Quick break. We come back. Time to go through our college coaches here. Willie Fritz, bottom of the hour. Frank Selfo before the top of the hour. But up next, a man that made history this past weekend, Tim Rebo of your Colonels, next on ESPN New Orleans.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover, as always on Tuesdays. Pleased to welcome in head coach Tim Rebo, the Nicholls football team. The Colonels getting a win this past weekend, sir, but more importantly, that is win number 40 for you. Congratulations, all-time winning as head coach over in Colonels history with your 40th win.
Hey, thank you, Gus. I appreciate that. A lot of people to thank for that, this whole staff and a bunch of players. But let's try to get number 41 this weekend.
You sound so focused. Listen to you. You got the win, and you're like, it's about the river. I get it. We're going to get into that game coming up with the Lions. But, Coach, when you get that win, 48-17, quick starts. We touched on this since you've started coming on the show on Tuesdays, how important that is. Tough to beat 21-0 at the end of one.
Yeah, and then 28-0, we were up, and we got off to a real fast start. Defense was playing well, and then I tried to tell the team this: it's all about some momentum and how quickly it can change. We had a turnover, then they had a big play and they scored, and then we had another muff punt, and then they scored again, and you're like, come on, let's try to get it back, and then we did. It was up 35-14 at half, and then all the delays came in the second half.
I was going to say, how important was it to, once the second half gets going and you get moving here, 9 plays, 85 yards, you get a touchdown. The importance of, as you're mentioning, kind of reestablishing and starting, that's not easy to do, right?
No, it's not. The guys were locked in and focused, and they knew. And sometimes that momentum is hard to swing back the other way. That's why I was proud of them, the way they came back, and they knew what they had to do. And then we had some other guys, Gus, that came in and played, and we got to play a bunch of guys, and I was pleased with the efforts and how they responded also.
When you take a look at where this season has sort of been. And it's interesting. I look at the photos that you guys tweeted out when you received the game ball. There's a special bond I know you have with the Colonels and what you've been able to do since you got there. But has this season kind of taken a different significance too as well with everything that happened? Obviously, the community, Ida, getting these guys together, getting your first win finally when you get back home, and now winning two straight at home?
Well, I think when we first got back, it did. You know, some of the things that we had to recover from and get back on track was a little bit difficult. I think right now, though, it's just normal for our guys. You know, they know that we in the conference play. We got our big rival coming in. We on a little bit of a winning streak. They are, too. So I think it's really kind of back to normal for us as things get back to more normal around us also.
When you take a look at it, obviously you still have a couple more games to go, but you've put four in the books here. What are some of the things that I guess you anticipated and liked, or some things that you still feel your team needs to work on as you progress throughout the rest of the season?
Well, when you look, and we talk about it all the time, it's flying by. You know, you play a game, and you have a little celebratory period if you win the game, and it's time to get back to work. The next thing you know, it's already Friday and Saturday, and you're playing again. I try to tell those guys it's going to go by fast, especially those seniors. You know, you say, hey, you don't have a lot of time to practice left or to be around each other. You know, you want to make it special. We're still a work in progress. I like the way we're developing on defense. I think we're getting better. We're playing a bunch of guys. We're playing better up front. But work in progress is turnovers. That's still a thorn in the side that we can't do. And you know that when you play a good football team, you got to be on the plus side of those turnovers.
I think one of the things, Coach, that you also, I guess, sort of like and enjoy and depend is sort of somewhat that leadership that you have. You have some players, as you mentioned, from your quarterback to other players that have sort of been there and done that, and to kind of navigate, I guess, whether it's the start of the season now, you know, going into a game like this with the Riverbell Classic, huh?
Yeah, a little bit of experience. Those guys know that it's a big game. And, you know, you look to last year's game, but these guys have been in some battles with the Southeastern Lions, and that's what rivalries are supposed to be like. And, you know, from going over there a couple of years ago to them coming beating us here, those guys know what to expect, and hopefully they can pass that on. You can't replace that experience. Me and you talk about that all the time. So hopefully those guys are going to tell some of the new guys and the young guys what it's going to be like.
So, Coach, you take a look at this team, and we speak with Coach Frank Selfo every Tuesday as well before the top of the hour, and heard about his teams, obviously, same kind of like yours, you know, kind of starting the season elsewhere, trying to find some states, still haven't played in Strawberry Stadium yet. So they have their own sort of unique start to the season. But when you put them on film, what do you see from them?
You see a veteran, experienced football team that knows how to win. I say this every week. I know it seems like, but they do such a great job of coaching over there, and they know what it takes. And it starts with the guy who takes the snap. And Cole Kelly, who's the player of the year in the country last year, left off. I mean, he's throwing against everybody. He's smart. He gets rid of the football. And then he can pull it down. He, you know, he's their leading rusher also. So you got to be able to make sure you put some hats on him, because you know how big he is and what he can do. And he's got a lot of weapons to go with, and he knows how to use it. And then the other thing I look at from the past is, defensively, they playing really, really well defensively. They're starting to get it together. Played the Louisiana Tech team tough, and then they reeled off some wins. So I'm expecting the team to come here. It's going to be a dogfight.
What is this classic like? I mean, you called it earlier, and it is, right? The rivalry and something that you kind of look at. Do you define that as not just the schools know all about it in terms of the players, but it's about the fan bases, right? What, in your experience, having been there a couple of years in Thibodaux, what does this game mean to the folks over there?
At first, you talk about a rivalry, and when we first got here, we had to make it a rivalry again, because a rivalry is when you're playing one of your schools that maybe you don't like as much, or proximity, right? But if they're beating you every year, it's not much of a rivalry. And then since we've got gotten here. It's been back and forth. But, you know, up and down the river, up and down the bayou, and up and down the parishes right there, they work together. You know, you have the players, they played against each other, but their families work together, and it's really become a good battle. And, you know, it's 90 miles away, and when we go over there, we bring a great fan base, and when they come over here, they bring in a great fan base, and there's no love lost between those fans. You're exactly right.
I like that. As long as everyone's respectful, no love lost. I get that. Coach, when you look at this stretch tier two, look, you just faced HB. You'll see him in 3 weeks. In between, you have the River Oak Classic, and then you're at, you know, UIW, and Incarnate Word is in first place currently right now in the standings. So kind of, I mean, they're all important, but a tough stretch of the season here, a big one, an important one.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, it's starting to shape up. You know, we all play the non-conference schedule. You know, we play two FBS schools. UIW did, and they go over there and they play Texas State. I mentioned earlier Southeastern plays over at Louisiana Tech. So now this thing is starting to shape up in conference, and you're finding out, you know, which teams and who they really are. And I think it is a big stretch, and I think you got to hold service when you're at home. That's going to be huge. And then you got to try to go on the road and steal one or two if you can. And then, you know, next thing you know, we're going to be playing that last Thursday night game and find out who's falling where. You're right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you want from fans coming up Saturday here at noon when they get to Guidry Stadium?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit different now is that we haven't done it often, but it's an earlier start for us. It's a noon kickoff because of television, which is always good for us. So our fans got to get here early, get the grills out early, get the ice chests open, get in the stands at noon, and I think it's going to be a tremendous crowd and tremendous atmosphere. The weather's going to be gorgeous again. We talk about that. Although it started out good this past weekend, it didn't end up really well.
Right.
And I want to thank the faithful, the ones who, first of all, who came out and the ones who stuck through it. You know, it was long for everybody. We talked about it, but it's supposed to be a nice day. And just come out and enjoy some good college football against two teams. I know this, and I'm not going to ruffle any feathers, but we talk about, hey, the weekend, you hear about who lost and who didn't. Hey, well, you got a couple of teams right here that's been winning and won this past weekend. Come out and see some good college football.
No doubt. I'll throw in the obvious, right? A quick start would obviously be helpful here, but when it comes to rivalries, you know, Coach, I'm sure, until you see all zeros on that scoreboard, if you're leading, you're not going to be happy. And if you're trailing, there's always still a chance. That's how you look at it when these two games. This is what makes, I guess, games like this fun and exciting. Look, they were picked preseason to win it. You guys have been winning the Southland Conference, so some bragging rights to be had here.
I mean, five of the last six games that we had played have been, I think, one score ball game, you know, against them. That since we've been here, and I think it was in 18 when we beat them 44-0. I mean, that was the only one that really wasn't close. All the games are close, and that's what it's supposed to be. So I'm not expecting anything different. This game, don't leave your seat, man. I'm telling you, you better stay to the very end.
I like that. Don't leave your seat. Coach, congratulations again. Win number 40. It's not obviously your last. You got plenty there, but it was great to kind of see you celebrate with the team there and get the game ball. Is that one of those games balls that's special in your home office or in your office there at work? Are you going to keep?
I don't know. They told me here to take a picture with it, and they wanted to take it right
they
back.
They wanted it back.
Use it next week again.
I love it. Well, hey, you know, that ball's still good for good use. So that's how it works. So somebody get Coach Rebo a ball, please. At Nichols _FB. As always, appreciate our Tuesday conversations. Good luck on Saturday.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, for sure. All right, quick break. So we talk Colonel football. Let's talk Way football as they have a nationally televised game coming up in just 2 days. Head coach Willie Fritz of your Tulane Green Wave up next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step 1. Shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store. We're so you.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
More details at AutoZone.com.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on, so don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
As always on Tuesdays, welcome in head coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Mr. Willie Fritz. You can always go online and check them out over at TulaneGreenWave.com and on Twitter, at GreenWaveFB. Good afternoon, coach. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you, Gus?
Doing well, coach. So last past Saturday, you knew it was going to be an important game, and a team that was playing pretty good football in ECU. Starts are always so important to get off to quick starts. And man, you're looking up at the end of that first quarter, and all of a sudden it's kind of catch up game. That was probably an uncomfortable feeling on the sideline.
Yeah, we didn't start very well. We didn't execute on quite a few calls, and we just got to do a better job of that. Obviously, just got to get in the right gap. And people are running the ball. You got to make sure your gap's solid and got a hat in every gap, and especially when they're running stretch play. And I think it was the second or third play of the ball game. We weren't gap solid on it. And, it's not a good way to start. You're on the road. You're playing a good ball club, and you give them a three touchdown lead. You're going to have a tough time catching up. And kids fought back, did a good job in the third quarter, and just didn't have enough.
Coach, you're familiar with running back play, especially Tulane's had some really solid ones. Is Keaton Mitchell one of the better ones you've seen? I mean, look, that guy just has some speed, doesn't he, for ECU?
Great speed. And, he got out in the open field, and they got a good 1-2 punch. They got a big back also that did a nice job. When you get a guy who's got great speed and he gets that second level and you're not slowing down, it's difficult. It's difficult to get him stopped because he's got that breakaway speed and he can run away from you. And he did that on a few occasions last Saturday.
It makes it tough too, right, Coach? When you get down by some points here, 17-0 at the end of one, and you're trying to come back, but teams a lot of times will run the football or run clock out, but if they're having success on the ground, that 222 yards, it's kind of fighting an uphill battle on two fronts, isn't it? The team's going to run the football or run the clock, but they're having success on it, so it's kind of a hard thing to do to come back when they do that.
Yeah, we got a few times we got them in third downs. They threw the ball, a couple fourth down situations. We didn't get those key stops that we needed to, and then when you get behind like that, too, for us, running the ball is a big part of our offense. You got to score quickly. And it's a little bit more difficult to do that when you're running it, a significant amount of time. So we start throwing it, and they start pinning their ears back a little bit.
Right.
Had some success. Well, they even had some success with running the ball a little bit in the third quarter, but just can't get behind like that.
Coach, quarterback Michael Pratt, 22 of 36, 268, had a touchdown with three interceptions. I can't think of many games where he had that many, you know, picks like that. I don't know, a lot of times the way the game sort of is, you're trying to make plays, trying to do different things. Is that kind of one of the reasons such a high number in that category?
Well, you know, we had a Hail Mary at the end of the first half,
right,
and they picked. You know, so that's one that, you know, was kind of based on the circumstance. But, you know, a couple other throws, you know, he'd like to have back. You know, but when you get back there and you're throwing it a bunch and, you know, they're teeing off, they know you're a little bit one-dimensional, it makes it more difficult to throw the football. And, you know, they did a good job of matching up with zones and playing some of our route combinations. So, you know, yeah, you're right. It's when you're throwing it and they know you're going to throw it, it makes it more difficult to throw the ball.
So, Coach, the message this week to your team when you get them back here at practice, and especially on such a short week, is it a helpful thing to do that? Because these next stretch of games, Coach, you're about to play Houston, they're first in conference, 24th-ranked SMU is next, and then you have the Cincinnati Bearcats ranked fifth after that. So kind of like buckle up your pants time here, right?
Yeah, a tough little schedule, part of our schedule right now. So
right.
I think it's good that we're able to, you know, get in play again. You know, we've been up and down this season with our play. There's been spots where we played really well. There's been too many spots where we played poorly. It's like I told our guys, and they know this, you know, we're our margin for error is very, very small. And it always has been, and we've won a bunch of games understanding and knowing that, you know, and we've just got to play better in all three phases. And if we can do that, you know, we got an opportunity to win a bunch of ball games. But if we're not on point in any of the three phases, we're going to have a difficult time. Last Saturday, you know, we fumbled a punt return. That hurt us. You know, you should have zero turnovers in the kicking game. We've had a couple so far this year. And then, you know, offensively, we just started off slow, didn't get the conversions and run the ball as successfully as we need to. And then defensively, like I talked about, getting out of gaps. So, you know, we got to play much, much better in all three phases.
Coach, when you take a look at Houston, you always know what kind of game you're going to get with them. And obviously, just go back to last season, jump out on them early. They have that high-powered offense. When you look at them this year, they're 4-1, 183 points, four, giving up 75. Away, they're 2-0. At home, they're 2-0. They've won four straight. What do you see when you take a look at the Cougars?
Really talented. You know, they've got a quarterback who's got a lot of experience for him, a great back, you know, one of the top ones in the country. Could have probably gone any place he wanted to. 400-meter guy, 210, 210 pounds. Good bevy of receivers, you know, they kind of pencil in anybody in there. And, you know, they do a good job. You know, but probably, they're, you know, the area that they're really good at is defensively. They're playing at a really high rate defensively. Big guys up front, and play a lot of tight man-to-man coverage. You know, best return guy in the country as far as punt returns are concerned. You know, it's unusual, but I think he scored a couple touchdowns as a receiver. He's also a lockdown corner for him, and then he's a great punt returner, you know, Marcus Jones. So very, very talented football team without question.
Mm-hmm. Coach, one of the keys, obviously, I would assume is to kind of get going off the right foot and all, right? Do you feel like you guys can kind of bounce back and get going early on, and the importance of being able to do that?
We need to. You know, we need to. You know, when you start off well, it gives everybody confidence, play callers, players, everybody. We need to start off better. And, you know, that's something we've really worked on, you know, scripting and, you know, and even in a short week, you know, running those plays over and over and over again. But you're right. We need to start off fast and well.
One of the things as well, dude, for Wave fans as well, the importance of the next two home games. Two of the next three are at home. Got Houston, that's a nationally televised game. You definitely want to show out the support there. And then you're going to have a ranked opponent in Cincinnati. Who knows where they'll be. They're ranked fifth right now coming in, you know, in 2 weeks. So the next two games, you want to see Yeoman filled out there and make a difference. It can make a difference for you, huh, Coach?
Yeah, it really can. And, you know, like I've said many, many times before, great stadium. Every seat's a great seat. you know, I also think people who haven't been out there before, they'll come out and see, wow, this is a great quality of football, you know, in the American Athletic Conference, and we got some great teams that are coming in here. So, you know, we'd love to have a great crowd Thursday evening.
Head coach Willie Fritz on Tuesdays. He joins us to talk Tulane Greenway football. We'll take on Houston, ESPN 630 on Thursday night. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Gus. Roll Wave.
At Green Wave FB over on Twitter and TulaneGreenWave.com online if you'd like to check out all of the latest stuff that has to do with Tulane. Got a few minutes here before we welcome in Frank Selfo next segment. Again, the Rivabel Classic this weekend. You heard Coach Rebo say it a segment ago. High noon is the kickoff because of TV. But it gives me a few seconds here to play some more from head coach Sean Payton. Lack of pressure. He spoke about this yesterday. Again, this was something that Saints fans spoke about Sunday after the game, Monday here on the show. Where was that pressure? Why couldn't I? Where's Cam Jordan? I need some sacks. Where's anybody sacking? No sacks in the game. So what happened, Coach? Where was the lack of pressure?
Well, look, part of the problem, you know, and when you get someone in a situation where it's coming out of his hands so quickly, now you're going to have to rely on some coverage, some tip balls. You know, in other words, he's experienced enough to where when he got in some of these spread sets, if you looked at the timing of how quickly he was throwing it, you know, it was coming out. There were a lot of quick throws, a lot of horizontal stretch plays, slants, seams, balls that were being thrown, you know, fairly quickly. You know, obviously, do we want to get more pressure? Yes. But, and then there, you know, the big play earlier was more of a max protect, you know, seven and a half man protection with kind of a two receiver route. So I think that, look, and credit New York for understanding one of the matchup concerns they had certainly would have been just handling our pass rush versus their offensive line and then doing a good enough job to get the ball out. So sometimes it becomes a little bit more challenging.
All right, so one of the things that I brought up there as well, he talked about the interception and doing that, but why not have Winston make that throw? Fans were wondering about that. He was doing well. You brought in Taysom Hill. Again, Sean Payton saying, look, he stubbed his toe, essentially. His plant foot got it caught in the turf, hence the short arm throw. But why not have Jameis Winston make that throw?
No, I think that's a great question. It's hard for the defense to sit in a too high safety when the threat at quarterback is a runner. So, yeah, to answer your question, we're going to each week carry certain runs and passes with Taysom in there, and the look we're able to predict becomes much different.
I think what's frustrating is if you heard Coach yesterday, and again, he spoke for 20 plus minutes. The plays were there. Okay, look, he said he shouldn't have kicked the 58-yard field goal. I get it. We all know that. But the plays were there. The looks were there. The plays were there. They didn't execute it. The fourth down call, got the look they wanted, knew the play would work. They didn't block it right. Defensively, they know what they should have done on the big shot plays. On the big pass plays, it was there. On the hold by Troutman to call back the touchdown, it was there. Just didn't get there on the fast end. The other guy got there faster. It was there. So we'll hear more from head coach Sean Payton coming up here as he continues to sort of explain it, including the question, the answer to the question, what kind of football team are you? And the offensive identity on that. So we'll step aside. We'll bring in head coach Frank Selfo. You already heard from Tim Rebo and the Colonel side of things. Let's hear from the Lions as they lined up this past weekend, setting up a really cool showdown coming up on Saturday afternoon at noon over in Guidry Stadium right here on ESPN New Orleans. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Craig LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home of strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Hi, I'm Nichols Head football coach Tim Rebo. Winning a football game starts with a great game plan, and so does fighting pests. Terminix will protect your home and business from termites, roaches, mice, and even mosquitoes. Call the local team, Dan and Billy Foster at Terminix of Houma. They will draw up a winning game plan to tackle your pests. Terminix is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
Go, Colonels!
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
As always on Tuesdays, we love to welcome in head coach Frank Selfo of the Southeastern Lions. Line up, coach, your team lined up last weekend. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Gus. How you guys doing, man?
Doing fantastic. At Line Up Football is the way to follow you guys over on Twitter. Let's talk about last week's game, coach. You've had a chance, obviously, a couple of days after that. What stood out to you in the victory?
Well, you know, I think probably one of the most positive things to come out of that game was, besides the win, obviously, is we faced adversity early in the game, and we didn't blink. And the same thing happened later on in the game. Some things took place, and McNeese got back in that thing, and but our guys didn't blink. So it was really good to see, you know, from just maturing, those guys are doing some stuff that I think is pretty cool.
38-35, the final. You kind of said it was going to be back and forth, and you expected a pretty good game because the Cowboys over there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, they got one of the gutsiest guys at quarterback that anybody has, you know, Cody Orgeron. He just does an unbelievable job keeping his team in the game. And, you better play 60 minutes when you play against him because he's not going to stop playing the entire time. And, you know, my hat's off to him. That's the fourth time I've played him. And, you know, he just keeps making plays, man. And, you know, so we knew it was going to be like that. We knew it was going to be a tight game. We knew it was going to be a game where he was going to be able to do some things, and he did. And but our guys overcame him, and we came away with the win.
Coach, a fantastic start. You know, we were talking about with Coach Fritz just now with Tulane about how ECU got that start, and it was tough to come back. You guys jump out 14-7 in the first, add 10 in the second. You're up 24-7 at halftime. What was the message at halftime? What was it? Hey, it's not over yet sort of thing, the classic, I guess, phrase we'd probably say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in 19, we had a good team. We went over there, and we lost 38-35. And they came back and scored late. But, you know, when you look at the history of the two teams, Southeastern's only won in Lake Charles twice since 2003. So for us to go down there and get a win was huge for our players and our staff, you know, be able to represent us like that and get the victory at the end.
Coach, when you take a look at y'all's performance there as well, look, it's hard to not look at the total yards that you guys were able to put up there. And what is it, 546 yards, 30 first downs. What was working so well offensively for y'all?
You know, everything was, really. We got in a good rhythm, man. It was good. We had a couple of turnovers and penalties that nullified some big plays for us, too. So there's there's certainly room for improvement. We can get better than what we got the other day, and that's what I plan on for this week.
Coach, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm sitting here going, all right, let's see what happened last week. Cole Kelly, 391, 3 TD, 13 different receivers. When you're spreading the ball around like that, you're probably giving some great hairs to defensive coordinators.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a tribute to Cole and him able to find out, you know, what McNeese was doing. They kind of played two different game plans, one in the first half and one in the second, and took away some things in the first half, and he found some open guys. And then the second half kind of switched it up, and then he found those open guys. So it was, you know, I think that's a tribute to our team. Mm-hmm. Our guys are very unselfish when it comes to wanting the football. Everybody wants it, but there's only one, you know. So we spread it around, and those guys do a good job of making plays when they have an opportunity to do that.
I was going to say, you kind of went there in terms of the unselfishness, but is it also a trust thing as well, right, for the quarterback, Cole Kelly, to sort of feel that, hey, I can go to that many different receivers and it's going to be a positive game one way, shape, or form?
Absolutely, Gus. And look, and that comes from practice, right? It doesn't come from game competition. It comes from practice, seeing it over and over again every day in practice. And that's what, you know, we trust our preparation when it comes to practice. And because for us, that's everything. Everything that we do is based around practice, and then we trust that it's going to play its way out in the game. So all of that trust and all of those things that take place during the course of practice, what builds on you, and you're able to let loose in the game.
Speaking with Southeastern head football coach Frank Selfo, we do that on Tuesdays. His team 3-1, heading now over to Thibodeau on Saturday, 12 o'clock, the Rebel Classic. Coach, when you look at the Colonels, they get two straight wins here at home. What do you see from Coach Rebo's team when you put on the tape?
Well, I think the same thing I've been seeing since I've been here. It's just a hard-nosed football team. Takes advantage of the guys that they have, but they just, you know, offensively, they're massive up front. They run the ball. They're going to run it. They know you can they're going to run it, and they're going to run it anyway. And they do such a great job schematically, and then their players are just really good. And then, you know, defensively, I think they're flying around on the football. They look faster than they did in the spring we played them on the defensive side. So I don't know if it's they had a great summer workout plan or whatever, but those guys have gotten a lot better on defense, and they're flying around really well. So,
oh, yeah.
But we also, you know, the game goes through the quarterback's hands. Lindsey Scott's just a dynamic player, one of the most dynamic players we've seen. And, you know, he's going to run, he's going to throw, he's got, you know, the weapons and gums and Dejon Dixon and K.J. Franklin. They got some great weapons over there down in Thibodeau, man, and that's a heck of a place to play.
Coach earlier in the show said, Coach Rebo, that is, he said, this is one of those games, get back to your seats if you go to the concessions or bathroom real quick. And he gave the, you know, the number and the stats that it's going to probably come down to the last possession or two in the fourth quarter. Is that kind of what you see coming Saturday?
Yeah, you know, and we talk about it all the time about great defenses and things like that. Well, sometimes great defense just needs a stop, you know, just one stop, just two stops. You know, it might happen in the might be a second quarter stop, might be a fourth quarter stop, but just a stop to get the other team out of rhythm and to get the ball back to your offense to go down there and score and get a two-possession lead if that's a possibility, you know. So I think the turnover margin is going to be huge, and then the ability to stop the other team's offense is going to be, you know, that's going to be pivotal as far as staying on the field with your offense or getting those guys off of the field.
Coach, what's the definition of a rivalry to you?
You know, to me, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of hatred between the two schools. I don't know. I've been knowing Tim for 25 years. I consider him a great friend, and he's an awesome guy, and he does a heck of a job. I just know that, you know, you can measure yourself against really good teams. You know, it's hard to measure yourself when you play someone who's not well coached or well disciplined. And you play Nicholls State, you're playing against a team that's very well coached and they're well disciplined. They do a good job on both sides of the ball and special teams. And when you come out, there's so much more to savor when you come out with a win because of who you beat, you know. And you don't just walk out on the field with these guys now. You got to go for 60 minutes, and you know, it just feels so much better when you beat somebody when you face a worthy opponent like this and you end up winning.
Mm-hmm. One more, Coach. This is the last game you will have on the road without actually playing in Strawberry Stadium next weekend. You got to go one more time. It's incredible to think, man, you guys have not played at Strawberry Stadium. But, look, you're 3-1. This is going to be a fun game and a classic. And I did close out this with him, and I'll close out with you with this. Look, you guys are picked preseason favorite to win the conference. They have been winning the conference. This is kind of, I know you got another game to come at the end of the year, but is it kind of a test to see where both programs sort of are again going into the season?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I don't think there's any doubt they need to win this game. We need to win this game. Go up, go 2-0 in conference, both of us, you know. And so I think that's important. But it what's so important is that it's the game we're playing. That's why it's the most important game of the season. It's the one we're playing. But, you know, when you can go into Thibodaux and win a game down there, now, that doesn't happen often, Gus. That's a tough place to win, just like us in Lake Charles. That was a huge hurdle for us to be able to go there and win. And the same thing's got to take place in Thibodaux. We've got to play well, and we've got to take care of the football for us to have a chance to come out with a victory.
All right, high noon is the kickoff. Looking forward to it, Coach, to seeing some good football over there in Thibodaux, and then also always look forward to chatting with you on Tuesdays. Thank you for carving up a little time out of a busy day. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys, man. It's going to be electric this Saturday. I'd love to see build a stadium up. It's going to be awesome.
Sounds good. Sounds good. At Line Up Football is the way to follow Southeastern football. And, of course, you can go to the website. It's real easy, lionssports.net. As always, we appreciate our coaches for joining us on Tuesday, and that brings an end to hour number two. Hour number three, we'll start off with a little baseball. You got an ALCS showdown tonight. You got New York and Boston. New York and Boston in a do-or-die, winner-take-all game, in a wild-card game. And then tomorrow, oh, I'm going to enjoy this. Ed Daniels, Cardinals, Ty Graffinini's Dodgers. Ooh, I just thought about that. My goodness, an elimination game on a Pelicans game night. We may not hear from Ty Graffinini tomorrow. I'm just letting you know right now, we may not hear from him. He's got to call a Pels game and a do-or-die game between the Cardinals and Dodgers. But we'll talk about those two games. We'll talk about the teams that already are in the postseason with Mr. Tim Grubbs, as we like to do throughout the season, talk baseball with him. So don't go anywhere. 2:15, Eric Alexander is confirmed. You know him, part of LSU Game Day Live, former Tiger national champion, former Patriot world champion. His thoughts on his Patriots almost beating Tom Brady, and his thoughts on watching the Auburn Tigers beat his LSU Tigers. Very big game this week, sir. Very big game for LSU at Kentucky. That is not an easy opponent. Hour two in the books. Next, it's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.